Lord, I just pray as we come around this scripture today that there would be just a real sense of your presence, Lord, in our lives. And Lord, I know that you are big enough to speak deep into our spirit. And your word says in Psalm 139 that you know us. You know the amount of hairs on our head. You know what we're thinking about. You know what concerns us. You know where we're at. You know what's ahead. And so, Lord, I pray for spiritual strength for all of us. I pray for hope where people are feeling overwhelmed or anxious. I pray for a greater awareness of your love, which is talked about in Scripture, incomprehensible. Today, Lord, I pray that you would open the eyes of our heart, that we would know the hope to which we've been called. We would catch a glimpse of your immeasurable goodness, your love towards us. I pray, God, that you would give us a fresh vision for 2025 that is built on the foundation that's rooted in your love. And together, Lord, that we would continue to claim the promise that you are a God that can do immeasurably more than anything we could ever ask, dream, or imagine according to your power at work within us. So, Lord, I pray today as I just open up this scripture or this thought even within this prayer that you would be the one, Lord, speaking to us. And, Lord, together I pray that we would have a greater knowledge and understanding and awareness, Lord, of how to trust you, how to surrender to you, and how to apply these scriptures to our everyday lives in the midst of so much vulnerability and so many challenges we face in just our everyday. And Lord, I pray this year that we would also continue to be grateful and to find that place of joy and life that you talk about in the scripture. So I commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what's kind of funny? You may find it funny or not funny, I don't know. But on the way down, so Brett and I live. Oh, Bretto's been away, just so you know. He's in Cambo. He's back tomorrow. It feels like forever since I've seen him. He's been with the team in Cambodia. For those of you who don't know, we have a campus in Cambodia. Had an amazing time. God's doing incredible things through the church in Cambodia. But he's back tomorrow. Yay. But yeah, on the way down this morning, we live about 15 minutes away. And, you know, often when I'm preaching, my mind is like crazy active. You know, it's just like, I'm not sure. I think because I'm too old, I was never probably diagnosed with ADHD, but I reckon something's got to be going wrong or something's going on in there. Anyway, part of my processing is when I'm in the car, I'm kind of praying as well as I'm doing my sermon. And I must have been so in the midst of my prayer and just like, you know, praying and praying out to God and kind of going through my notes and stuff. Turned around at the lights and there's a whole car of young people that are just laughing so much. They're just, I look across and they're just laughing at me, trying to work out what the heck I was doing. And my first thought was, I hope it's none of the Christian surfers guys because they'll probably think I'm completely nutters or they'll leave the church or something. But anyway, I'm like, hey, I'm just praying. Anyway, side note. Back on track. Okay, this thought about being rooted in love and the scripture that we've just read in Ephesians 3:17 says this, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. And, you know, I've been loving this series and I loved what Dave kind of presented when he preached a couple of weeks ago about what Paul is praying for is a more mature, well-formed, resilient faith and community that would continue to emerge when Paul was speaking to the church in Ephesus. He also shared about the yada? Is that the meaning? Is actually when it's talking about the knowing, it's by experience. Experiencing the love of God, experiencing his strength. So when we look at this scripture and we think about, okay, so what does it mean to be rooted and established in love? In the practice of what did that mean for the Ephesus church at the time, but more importantly, I think this scripture is so applicable to us today as followers of Christ. What does this mean for you and what does this mean for me? And you know, I think this is kind of a scripture that you can easily sort of throw and read it without actually really understanding or unpacking the significance of what Paul was actually trying to say to the church in Ephesus, and also through the Word of God, which speaks to us today. I would like, first of all, to say actually the premise or the foundation of this scripture is all about our foundation being in love. And we know that in John, it talks about the fact that God is love. That when we are rooted in established in love, we are actually rooted and established in God. And when we are rooted and established in love, the foundation for our identity is in God. The foundation for who we are is in God, in Christ. So if we go back a couple of chapters into Ephesians 1, it says this: it is in Christ that we find out who we are. This is the Message version. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had eyes on us. He had designs for glorious living, part of the overall purposes he is working out in everyone and in everything and everyone. So when we are rooted and grounded in the love of God, foundational to that is our identity, is the formation of who we are in Christ. But we live in a world that tells us that our identity is something that we need to construct. We're formed by narratives that teach us to measure ourselves by what we produce or how we are perceived by others. And it was the famous beloved sermon from Henry Nguyen that said it like this: we aren't what we do, what we have, or what people say about us. So if we aren't what we do, what we have, or what other people say about us, then who are we? And I think this passage of scripture that talks about being rooted and established in love is the first place to understanding our identity and who we are in Christ. That we are to live from God's love, God's perspective, through God's lens of who he says uniquely we are. And God is writing a story with every one of our lives. And when we are rooted and established in the love of God, we are enough, full stop. We are enough in him, in his love, because God is love. So that when we live from God's love, it shapes and transforms everything about us. It shapes and transforms how we see ourselves, how we see others, and how we live and turn up in this world. So love is not just something that we know about, it's actually something that changes us. So Paul, through this scripture, is inviting us into another way of being. That's why Paul insists that the love of Christ surpasses our knowledge. We don't control it, we don't fully understand it, but rather by the power of the Holy Spirit, the mystery of God and the love of God continues to shape and change us. It's a miracle. It's a miracle of God's love. It's a miracle of His tenderness, of His faithfulness. So when we begin to grasp even a part of the vastness of God's love, we are impacted around how we see ourselves starts to shift, how we see others starts to shift, and how we live starts to shift. But I also think this kind of passage and this invitation that Paul actually asks us into takes a lot of courage. And Dave kind of tapped on this last time he spoke. It requires the courage to show up with all our imperfections and to trust the fact that we're loved anyway. It requires the courage to love others in the same way, unconditionally and without judgment. And sadly, I would say the narrative, at least from my perspective of what I've observed in the church, I'm not just talking about Caringbah, but I'm talking about the church in general, is that there's been this disconnect almost around we're impacted by sin, and so there's a shame narrative that doesn't enable us to work through in a safe way to understand who we are, because often in the church we're hiding. It's our natural default when we feel shame that there's a hiddenness around our sense of vulnerability or our confusion or our sense of not really knowing, I think, sometimes in the midst of our own pain and suffering, when we numb our emotions or our choices, the behavior and the actions behind that can inhibit us from the process of being patient, from the process of forgiving, from the process of being who Christ wants us to be. And I want to give you an example in my own life. Often, I am dragged kicking and screaming at the fact that sometimes when I am asked by the Holy Spirit to be patient and vulnerable, when I feel like being angry and aggressive and revengeful and hateful, it takes courage and it takes me to stop to look at those emotions and process them with the Holy Spirit to enable me to be strong enough through the promise of who God's calling and creating me to live differently. It's love practiced out. And like you, I'm just as human. I'm not some spiritual superstar. I have my own challenges I walk through, my own frailties. I absolutely adore my husband to bits. He's my best friend. He's my soulmate. I've been with him since I was 16. But some days I just feel like punching him in the head. Am I the only one? Can we all be honest and real? You know, sometimes I think there's this sense of like, oh, wow, you know, love. You know, it's like, I think it was Brené that said it's not all unicorns and fairy tales, it's actually hard work. But it's possible, and it leads to freedom. Because it's actually harder to turn up and have the courage to have a crucial conversation with Brett in my marriage than it is to bitch behind his back. Oh, am I allowed to say that? Yeah, thanks. It actually takes more courage for me to say to Shaz or to Dave or the team or our elders or to Luba or Liam or anyone that's walking with me, hey, I'm not doing so well right now. Can you walk with me? Can you pray for me? Because in that sense, it's showing that I'm weak or I'm vulnerable, in not in your terms, but that's how I assess myself sometimes. So when we're rooted in God's love, there's a transformational process that awakens us to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we have a choice of how we continue to allow God to work that out in and through how we interact with others. How I see myself shifts, how I see others shift, and how I live shifts. But it's practiced. It's allowing God to do the transformational work in me, because sometimes I think when we read these scriptures, God is at work within us, but we also are in partnership with the Holy Spirit to effectively work with the Lord in order to surrendering to what the Holy Spirit is doing in and through us. But generally, when pain and suffering hit, my first response, I don't know if it's your first response, is I want to control the outcome. I want to control what's happening. I want to control, particularly if it's my family or my children, I want to defend. I want to control what's happening. But when we are rooted and established in God's love, there is a practice of learning to surrender, learning to trust, and learning to let go to the promise that the Lord I follow is able to do immeasurably more than anything I could ask, dream, or imagine according to His plan work within me. I can turn up and be present when something's going on in my family and it's hard. I can be present to the pain. I can hold space with pain. I can pray for people in their areas and times of most vulnerability. I can be there because the Holy Spirit is working in and through me to be able to turn up in a way that is testimony to God at work in my life. And the other thing I think being rooted and grounded in love is actually the promise that we have that we don't, you know, this culture that tells us that our identity is in something we construct. Our culture also tells us that we live in a culture of scarcity, where we operate from a fear of not being enough, not smart enough, not successful enough, not loved enough, not doing enough, not spiritual enough, not kind enough. Not enough. And it's the hidden message. We're all aware of it. But to be rooted in God's love, is a life in reality that is shaped by abundance because His love doesn't run out. It's patient. It's kind. It's not scarce. And it's to resist the pull of narratives that dictate our values. It is a trust that we are already seen, we are already known, and we are already loved. I am already seen, I am already known, and I am already loved. I can rest in the truth that that is my identity. I can also rest in the knowledge that the Lord walks with me in moments when I feel most vulnerable and frightened and scared. The Lord walks with me when I don't have the full picture, or I feel misunderstood or mistreated, or we could go on and on and on. But God knows, I started this prayer with, you know, in Psalm 139, God knows when we sit, God knows when we stand, God knows the number of hairs on our head, God knows the grains of sand, God walks with us, God loves us. And I think this message of love is like something that is just uncomprehendable often in our world that we live in that is bombarded with these messages of just not being enough, not young enough, not old enough, not rich enough, not, I mean, it's just exhausting, right? I also think that when we are rooted and grounded in God's love, we have the freedom to own the stories that's being written in our lives. And our stories are not just good news stories. Sadly, we live in a vulnerable world where there is pain and there is suffering, and there are moments in our lives when we go through incredible challenges. But all of that is wrapped up in the story of God's love and transformational power to move us from here to here. It's not finished yet. So don't get wrapped up in watching the story of everyone else while God's trying to make you or hold you attentive to the story he's uniquely writing with your life. Because your story matters. What God's doing in your life matters. It is out of his love, his glorious riches, and his power at work within you. As we live from this place, we learn to, and this is the next series, we learn to be patient. We learn to be kind. We learn not to be envious of others, but to hold our own stories in a place of encouragement and hope. We learn not to be boastful or proud, to honor others. And it says not to be anger, but I put to process our anger well. And ultimately, to forgive. It's amazing. This scripture that God's given us is an amazing truth. Because the God of love that is spoken about in 1 John lives in us and with us. And he's transforming us. And has an abundance for us to walk in. And I love in the NIV it says that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And if you go back a couple of chapters and you read from Ephesians 1 where, you know, I pray that scripture over my kids all the time, that their hearts would be awakened to, you know, the immeasurable greatness of God's love. And that's my prayer for me, that's my prayer for you, that every day the Lord would awaken me to his immeasurable, expansive, incomprehensible love that he has for each one of us. And when we work towards that foundation, the challenges and the obstacles we walk through, it's almost like, you know, the scripture that Dave had this morning from Jeremiah. I was thinking about that scripture about in the midst of adversity, we can have peace. It's unexplainable. We can bear fruit. And God is not finished with me yet, and he's not finished with you yet. So let's pray. God, I just, again, I'm so grateful for your love. And I'm so grateful for the story that you are writing in my life and through every person in this room's life. And I'm also grateful that you know us. You created us since the beginning of this world. There's nothing that comes as a surprise for you. And I also believe, God, and stand on that promise today, that you can do immeasurably more than anything we could ever ask, dream, or imagine according to your power at work within us. Lord, I pray and just surrender every person here And I pray, God, that that promise this year would bring a greater level of faith in this community, a greater level of hope in this community, that your name would be glorified and that people would see our God in heaven, the God of love, who also invites others on this journey too, that they would see we would be like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. So I wanted to say thank you, God. We love you. And I just pray as we move into communion that you would continue to be encouraging us and speaking to us and prompting us about the areas in our life, Lord, that you want to bring change and transformation. And I pray this in Jesus' name.